Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, that's kind of quiet. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. I am thankful for the opportunity to stand before you this day and bring the words of life. I look out and see my brothers and sisters and friends and family of Christ, and it's encouraging. I'm thankful for your prayers for me. I'm gaining strength and able to drive again, and actually most of the time I feel pretty good. I'm still having trouble with my doctors and changing my medicines, and I'm trying to convince them to take me off of more. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your prayers. I'm thankful for the scriptures that we have, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon that we have before us, and the Lord has preserved them for us, that we might have his word even this day. The scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a wonderful blessing that we have an unchangeable God, one who never changes, and that the words that he said 2,000 years ago or more pertain to us this day, just as they did in those days. You know, the book of Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets." The prophets and the scriptures teach of the coming of Christ and the building of his church and a falling away of the beliefs and the restoration of the church in the last days. We have a tract downstairs on the shelf written by Brother Welch many years ago. I believe he was the grandfather of Sister June Haynes, who lives in Michigan. Wonderful tract. But I'm going to use some of that today, but I'm going to change it. His tract says, "Does it make a difference which church you belong?" And I'm going to say, it makes a difference which church you belong. Christ built his church. He is the head of it. It's named after him. He said it's referred, the church is referred to his bride, and that church is this church, the Church of Christ. There's 30,000 different churches in the world today, or religions, but only one of them can be Christ. How can I say that? Because it's his wife. And he only had one wife. Didn't have 30,000, he had one. Each of the 30,000 have a different doctrines, different name, different structures, and different teachings. You know, the book of Isaiah, I quote these all the time. In 8:20, you know, it says, "Till the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to these things, there's no light in them." So we have the scriptures written and preserved for us to judge, to make decisions, to learn how the plan of salvation, and to make sure that we're partaking in his church properly. The church is his, he built it, and he is unchangeable. He had a plan. He taught the beliefs and the doctrines and built the structure. It is his kingdom on earth, and it was named for him. Romans 16, I don't have the verse, excuse me. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. For those of you that are visiting here today, and there are several, are live streaming, or listening to this tape on service, this sermon on a tape or a video later, I want to tell you that we believe the Word of God is contained in the Bible in the Book of Mormon, which states that it is another witness of Jesus Christ. It teaches of Jesus Christ. It teaches the gospel the same as the Bible, so that we might have the two or three witnesses to establish all things. And it fulfills the script, the prophecy written in John 10:6, when the Lord himself said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." There were other people that were going to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. They weren't going to be taught about Jesus Christ. They were going to be able to hear the words from him. He's not a respecter of people. He didn't only go to the people in Galilee and Jerusalem. He went to all 12 of the tribes of Israel around the world that were scattered and are still scattered. And we have the record of Jews, and we have the record of Joseph, the Book of Mormon, to testify of those things, to put down contention and false doctrines among the children of men, that we would know the way. You know, there's a belief in the world today that the teachings in the seminaries and what have you, that 20 or 40% of the words of the Bible or Christ's words aren't true. They're fables. Somebody wrote them up and put them in there. But we have another witness that shows us that he taught the same thing in a different continent. What a wonderful promise that we have an unchangeable God that is not a respecter of persons. And he went out to preach to the 12 tribes. What an awesome God. You know, there are churches today, and there's a lot of them, that believe that the Word of God is only contained in the 66 chapters of the Bible. However, the Bible does not teach that. It speaks of other records from which we have learned doctrine and see clearly, and will be used to restore the house of Israel. And we can see that in Ezekiel 37 and many of the chapters after that. But, you know, John in 21 and 25 states this: "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the word itself, the world itself could not contain the books that shall be written." Amen. Just think about that. All of the things that Jesus Christ did. But there are those that believe that the Word of God only exists in the 66 chapters of the Bible. I mean, we believe that, but it's not the only place. We believe in latter-day revelation that are in harmony with the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We believe the words of Jesus Christ wherever they're given. As it says, to the law and to the testimony. We have to use those things to guide and direct ourselves in our life. The church, so how do we know, you know, if what the Church of Christ is looks like? You know, the scriptures tell us. He said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it teaches that he placed in the church apostles, evangelists, elders, teachers, and deacons. And you can use for a reference of that is Ephesians 4:11, Acts 14:23, and Philippians 1:1. Look them up. It says, you know, and it says that he placed these things in the church until we all come to the unity of the faith. There's 30,000 different beliefs. We aren't there yet, and they're still to be in the church, and he continues to be the head of the church. Ephesians 4:5, it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one Lord Jesus Christ. There's one set of faith or beliefs. And there's one baptism. Baptism by immersion in water, by one having authority of Jesus Christ. Just as it was done in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon. Two witnesses. You know, many churches have the innovations of man and doctrines of man. Let's take, for example, baptism. Some believe you have to be baptized. Some believe you don't have to be baptized. Some believe that it's your it's your choice. Some believe that it's done by immersion. Some believe that it's done by sprinkling. Some believe it doesn't make any difference. But that's not what the scriptures teach. That's not what Jesus Christ taught. He set the example for us. He went down into the water, came up out of the water to fulfill all righteousness. And the Holy Ghost descended on him as a dove. So there's one way, one faith, one baptism. Some believe that once saved, always saved. There's no possible way that you can fall away. But the scriptures don't teach us that. They teach us that we sin every day and must repent of our sins daily. Some teach that we're saved by grace, which they say is an unmerited gift, but the scriptures do not teach that. We believe that we are saved by grace after all we can do. For example, in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It's a good work to be humble. Book of Mormon tells us the natural man is an enemy to God and has been and always will be until we do what? Until we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and allow it to direct us in our life. One of those good works that we're called out to do in the scriptures. Romans 5:2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. We have to have faith. Ether, Book of Mormon, in chapter 5, in the 28, verse 28. I give unto men weakness, that they might be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they will humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Requiring good works. You know, I was thankful and I enjoyed I got here at the end of Sunday school and Sunday school classes standing up and talking about what they learned. And that's really good, kids. I really appreciate that you can do that or are willing to do that. And Gary and Neva seeing that beautiful special and using their talents to glorify God. That's what we're to do. We're to use our talents to glorify God, each one of us. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. James 3:13 says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. You know, the Book of Mormon Yeah, in 3 Nephi in the 4th chapter on page 628. And I'm going to start at verse 48. Book of Mormon, the 3rd Nephi, chapter 4, starting with verse 48. I am the light in the life of the world. I am the light in the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you shall offer unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And you shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's, you know, done away with the Mosaic works of the sacrifice and burnt offerings, but what he requires of us is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We're to humble ourselves as a little child and allow him to direct us in our life. We're to submit ourselves to him. We're to allow him to teach us. We're to take time in our daily activities to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us, that still small voice. We're to ask him daily what his will is for us in our life and how we should use our talents and what things he would like us to do that day, who we might call, who we might be encouraged, who we might help, who we might do those things that he's commanded us to do and ordained us as good works. Let's make sure that we take our time to listen to his still small voice. Mosiah 3:21 states, therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it makes a difference. There's only one Church of Christ in the world. He never changes. What a wonderful blessing. You know, there's churches that believe they come down from the original Church of Christ. But the Bible teaches us that there was going to be a falling away. There was going to be an apostasy. And we can read, you know, again, Book of Amos says, behold, the days come, and saith the Lord, in the 8th chapter of Amos, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst, nor of water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. There wasn't the true word being taught. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. You know, they would look, but they wouldn't be able to find the true word of God. We find why when we read in the book of Revelation in the Bible, in the 12th chapter, and it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman and was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. It's talking about the authority to represent Jesus Christ. And it said the woman fled into the, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there a 1,260 days. The church was going to go into apostasy. There was going to be a falling away, as the scriptures speak of. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 states, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by your gathering together unto him, that you may be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no means man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God and showeth himself that he is God." You know, there was a period of time that the church that was left on earth, that was fed by the mouth of the serpent, that the leader of it said that he was God on earth and he could change laws and doctrines. You know, and that roughly happened when Lombards overran Rome, and they put in charge that man of not only the religious but the government of Rome. We got to remember that the authority was taken away into heaven, that the gates of hell would not prevail, and that there would be a restoration as promised. We can read in Isaiah in 29, "Behold, I will," you know, Isaiah, I encourage everybody to read that. It talks about a book coming forth, and from which we would learn doctrine. "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide the counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say unto him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding?" He goes on, he says, it is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field. And the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of the darkness. The meek shall also increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. You know, what a wonderful promise. You know, I go back to Amos, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So the things were foretold, and we were foretold that there would be a falling away, but there would be a marvelous work and a wonder that it gives the time frame of the latter day rain returning to Lebanon, which we know by history was about 1800 and something. The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The Book of Mormon would come forth, and there would be two witnesses of Jesus Christ. You know, I had a nephew come up, call me in. He was talking to somebody about the church. He called me in the middle of the night and asked me questions and everything. And he was talking to somebody that was telling him the Book of Mormon was the book of the devil. And I tell him, Todd, just go back. Now you know who it was. I tell him to go back and tell that person that they've never read the book. And he went back to the man and he said, he's read it. I said, he's read about it from false preachers. And it took about 3 phone calls and several weeks, and the man finally admitted. And I am beseeching each one of us and those that are live streaming, don't believe what you hear the teachings of the Book of Mormon. Read it and ask God if it's not true, and he will speak to you. That's the promise given in the book itself. Its purpose is that we would believe that the Bible is true. Its purpose is to put down contentions and false doctrines. Its purpose is to explain things that aren't easy to understand or have been left out of the Bible. It's the Word of God, as the Bible is. That's why we use both of them. And we should read both of them and understand and have the ability to explain it to people in love. You know, 30,000 different churches that have doctrines of men and not of God. There's good people. I'm not talking about people in other churches. I'm talking about doctrines of men and false teachings. And that we're told to compare everything to the, you know, we believe in latter-day revelation if it's in harmony with the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We believe that God still speaks to us today. He calls ministry. He tells us that we're not, you know, nobody has taken that honor upon himself unless he's called, as was Aaron, who was called God speaking to Moses and telling him to appoint Aaron as the high priest. Many churches don't believe that he speaks to us, that all that is done away. However, since the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, there are those that now believe that outside of the church, in some of the Pentecostal faiths and that, they believe in miracles and that. You know, at the time of Joseph Smith, they didn't believe in miracles. They didn't have any understanding. But it was a time, you know, of the apostasy. It was called the Dark Ages in the history books. Man didn't have the light of the gospel and the authority to preach on earth as they ran from sea to sea. I read in a book of Revelation, apostasy in the 1260 days of the 1260 years that we believe was 570 AD to 1830, and that was complete. And you know, there's several other scriptures that I could read, the 13th chapter and the 17th chapter of Revelation tells you what happened to that woman. She's dressed in scarlet and has gone completely haywire by that time. My term, excuse me. But we see in a dream by Nebuchadnezzar in 2 Daniel. Wonderful dream. And he was trying to get somebody to interpret it, and he heard of Daniel, and he asked Daniel. And Daniel told him the dream was concerning him and things that were going to happen in the last days. Not in the days of Daniel, or in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, but in the last days. And there was an image that he saw, and it represented him and various other empires that would take over after one another. And the image stood, and then it had the 10 kingdoms coming out of the Roman Empire. And then we find that in Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Brothers and sisters, that's the Church of Christ. That's the Church of Christ today. As we extend ourselves and have been blessed over the recent years and have congregations and missions throughout this country and Canada and the nations of the earth, Mexico and Honduras and the Philippines and India and Kenya and Tanzania and Uganda and Nigeria and the other places that we're reaching out to. You know, we have contacts. I'm currently talking to people in Egypt and teaching a class there and in Poland and teaching a class. And to a man in Israel. The word of God is going forth with power and authority, just as was talked about in the beautiful restoration story. Mosiah 1:16 says, "And moreover, I say unto you that there is no other name given, nor any other way nor means whereby salvation come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord omnipotent." That God that never changes. And got my pages turned around. I'm sorry I'm reading this like this, but I find that when I enlarge the print, I can read it a little better. Again, I'm thankful for the fact that he is not a respecter of persons. He went to more people than those just in Galilee. That he built his church. And he only has one wife, the Church of Christ. History shows this, a young man named Joseph Smith in 1820s lived in his area. There were many, at that time, many churches, which would be few compared to today. And they all wanted him to join each one, and he didn't know what to do, so he believed the words of James. And he went into the grove and he asked God. And God told him to join, Jesus Christ told him to join none of them, that their creeds were an abomination to him. And so the young man, you know, continued to remember that and pray about it and was visited by an angel. Given to instructions, the plates of the Book of Mormon, given the wherewithal to translate them. And it's as we know, those of us that know the It's a wonderful star. And that promise is for us today. If we lack wisdom, go to God, He'll provide. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We of the Church of Christ, we're called to be a light unto the world, city on the hill. We're called to study. We're called to repent of our sins. We're called to follow the example of Jesus Christ, which means that we have to study both the Bible and the Book of Mormon and find out what that is that He told us to do. He said, do the things that you have seen me do. We're called to do good works, to be humble, to have faith, to help others, to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. All good works, to pray for one another, to help one another, to lift one another up, and to be able and to be ready to explain what we believe and why in the teachings of Jesus Christ. We're taught and have a need to. I enjoyed last week's sermon by Apostle Jeff Holden. And he told us to remove pride from our life. You know, it's by the grace of God that we have the Church of Christ. Doesn't make us any better than anybody else. It makes us believing in the Scriptures. It makes us entering in that straight and narrow gate that leads to eternal life, but few there be that find it. For broad is the way, and you know what they're talking about in the 7th chapter of Matthew. And it says that, you know, it in there that says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. My words. It says it's those that follow His example, that endure to the end. Those doctrines of men of once saved, always saved, that we don't have to have works, we're saved by grace alone, are all innovations of man. There's churches that believe in the Bible and traditions of men. You know, it says don't put our faith in the arm of flesh. But we're to come humbly. All He requires of us is to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So I ask, Lord, brothers and sisters, that we look within ourselves. Are we coming with a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Have we set aside our pride, as Jeff told us? He told us to listen to others, to give them an opportunity. He told us to engage with them, to be ready to explain what we believe, to study and know about it. Learn and hear the will of God in our lives. Take time to reflect on ourselves. I'm talking to me too. I get caught up in the things of the world and decide things I'm going to do without asking God if I should do them. And they don't work out. We're to turn to Jesus Christ for all things. At the name of Jesus Christ, all things happen. Beginning and the end. Created all things in heaven and earth. Praise Him. Give glory to Him by our good works. Use our talents to glorify God. Be the light unto the world. I'm thankful for this time that we had I had before you this morning. I told Sue I thought I was going to run over, but I'm not going to, so that's good. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate the fact that we serve an unchangeable God that's always available, calling out to us, extending his arms in mercy, of arms of mercy to us, and says, come. We're to come to him. We're to fellowship with him. We're to pray to him. We're to give him praise and honor and glory in our life and our good works. Let us continue. Let us continue to pray for one another. Thank you.